welcome to another episode of Lit Up with Nina Alvarez. I'm your host, Nina Alvarez. Today we have on a very, very special guest, Jessica Van Dop de Jesus. Is it Van Dop or Van Dope?
Van Dope.
The reason I don't know is because this is Jessica's married name. I've known her forever, but this is still sort of new that you're married. And Jessica is, she lives in Washington, D.C., and she's the editor of the food and travel blog, The Dining Traveler. She began traveling as a young U.S. Marine 17 years ago, that was only a little bit after I met her, and has been to 40 countries on and off duty. She spent most of her post-collegiate years overseas, starting with a tour in Okinawa, Japan, and most recently spent 6 years in Belgium with a year in Germany in between. She comes from a bicultural upbringing as she split her childhood between Puerto Rico and Western New York State, Rochester to be specific. And yay, Rochester! All of these experiences give her broad perspective on food and travel, and her content has been featured in publications such as Travel Channel, USA Today, Budget Travel, Edible DC, Telemundo, and Inc. 361. So welcome to the show, Jess.
Thank you, Nina. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is very exciting, very, very exciting time to have you on because you have been blogging for a number of years, but this, we're getting you right in the moment of deep transition to full-time blogging.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about where you worked before and what you're going to be doing now.
Well, like as you mentioned, I've been with the military. I'm now in the reserves, but I've been a Marine for now almost 18 years this summer. And so I was on active duty for most of it. In 2006, I left active duty to do my master's in Belgium. That's how I ended up in Europe. And I was still doing things back and forth with the military, so I got to travel quite a bit doing that. And after I was done with school, I went back into the military. That's how I ended up in Germany. And from there, I went back to Belgium and worked at NATO as part of the international staff as a civilian. But and it was actually at that time, the end of 2009, 2010, when I started working at NATO, that I also decided to open a blog called Adventures of a Puerto Rican Girl in Brussels. And it was pretty much a diary of sharing my travel experience, food experience, my unsuccessful dating experiences. So it was a little bit of, it was just like a melange of random thoughts. It was interesting how it gathered a small following in the Brussels expat community. And it was just nice that I got to meet a lot of new people and explore new places by doing it. And when I returned to the U.S., where I started working for the Department of Defense as a civilian during the day, I continued blogging. And I started a blog called Adventures of the Repatriate, and it was going to be a kind of a reflection of my experience after so many years living overseas and how to transition to American life. And it just morphed into more of a travel and food blog just because I was out in D.C. exploring the culinary, all the great culinary offerings the city has, and also doing a lot of traveling, especially within the U.S., that I wasn't able to do by living overseas, and that turned into The Dining Traveler. Long story.
Yes,
long story.
Absolutely. It might sound to our listeners like a long process, but it was very organic.
Yes.
And very. It came very much as a natural extension of who you are. You love to be around people. You love food. You love cooking. And you love travel. And, you know, there's obviously probably hundreds of thousands, maybe a million food and travel blogs out there, or lifestyle blogs, maybe, let's say. What do you think sets your approach apart from the herd?
Well, I think that dining traveler is not, it's anybody can be a dining traveler. So obviously I'm the one that writes most of the content. Now I have a few contributors that are very like-minded, but I think that the main thing that I want to do is not only tell my stories, but also within telling the stories, inspire people to travel. So I think a lot of travel bloggers focus on me, me, me. Oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And my objective with the blog is to teach people how to travel. And I think that also is putting a different face to travel media. And a lot of times you see a lot of middle-aged white males are pretty much have been the face of travel media for many years. Whereas in my case, I bring something else. I grew up, you know, like I said before, I'm from Puerto Rico. I'm Puerto Rican. I've lived in many different places. I have a military background. So it's just like a combination of different things that I feel that for the new generation of people, there's more Latinos are a rapid growing purchasing power that are looking to travel, not only to visit their families, but also leisure travel, and also a new generation of multinational, multiracial families out there. My husband is Dutch. He's European. So he also has a different perspective than I have on certain things. And I bring that to the blog as well. A lot of photos are taken by him. Ironically, I actually have someone whose first language is not English that actually edits a lot of my content as well, which is funny, but he speaks the Queen English. So he's very good with grammar. So I think it's the way that we us as Americans, when we're changing so much and our backgrounds are changing so much and our families, our friends, our extensions, they're changing so much. And I think that that's what comes with the dining traveler and with my contributors as well. So, and I think it brings something relatable, especially for people in our age group.
I absolutely agree. I like what you said about it's a different face to travel. It's a different background than the sort of, you know, old white guy or middle-aged white guy, you know.
With a fanny pack. But I mean,
backpack, and a wistful look on his face. Yeah. It's great. I want to talk about, and you know, I like to get deep and lit up, and I know that you can go there with me, Jess. I'd love to talk about your journey. Maybe let's say over the past 10 years or so, starting back with Wayne Dyer.
Thanks. I just kind of discovered them through you, so I'm very
curious. Yes, exactly. We love our Wayne. You're one of the most, honestly, one of the most inspiring people that I know, like on this ground level. I won't say we're not on the ground level anymore, but on this level of like people learning to follow our bliss and listen to our hearts and make decisions from our highest self. And it's a huge process.
It is.
You know, it's a huge process. So I'd love to know, you know, for me and for our lit up audience, I guess who you felt who have been your great teachers in this arena. I said Louise and Wayne, but I'm not sure if those are the most influential or not, but if you could talk about what they gave to you and how you apply it.
I have to say, when you just said that, I couldn't help but think of our trip to Paris in 2008.
Yes.
Because to me, that was a very defining year in discovering, self-help as in, you know, in the form of Louis, or I don't even like calling it self-help, but inspirational authors such as Louise Hay and Wayne Dyer. And I know I had an ex-boyfriend that had mentioned Louise Hay, and I remember being in Paris and talking to you about it, and you were like, oh, you should hear this guy Wayne Dyer. And I remember buying on iTunes The Power of Intention, and I have to say, if there's one book that's changed my life, it's been The Power of Intention by Wayne Dyer. And I don't know how many times, actually, I just listened to the audiobook a few months ago. And I always like get something new from that specific book. I mean, there's other ones I just listen to. I Can See Clearly, which I love as well. But I think that if I had to look back, The Power of Intention is a book that really changed me. And I think because it's one of those things that it speaks to you as a normal person. I think that sometimes when people want to go into that path of higher consciousness, and for me, I'm a very, best word to describe, you know, from having a military background and working in tech, I mean, for me, a lot of things have to be tangible, have to be written a certain way. So I think that if it would have sounded too new agey, I probably would have not listen to it, but it just sounded so, you know, he just does such an awesome job at making practical, making something from a higher consciousness sound practical, which I really enjoy. And I think that it definitely, he has the audience that he has because he can convey something that you can use every day. And as I kept on listening to it, to the book several times, I was like, this works. And it's shifting your mind and being, and I, you know, like Luis says, being open and receptive to those things and to listen to those things and to apply them. Like, they don't do any good if you listen to them and then you're negative or you, you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to think this way, but you don't. But I think that he just does such a, I can't stress that he just does such a good job at sometimes I say if I need a coddling, I go to Louise, and if I need like good advice, I go to Wayne.
It's mommy and daddy. I swear, I'm the same way. For those who've never read Power of Intention, can you tell us a little bit about what it is that Wayne is saying that you can kind of pull? Can you pull together that, or maybe things that were most salient for you specifically?
Well, one of the things, and I actually like listened to it like the last time I listened, and it kind of resonated was, I love the anecdote that he talks about how his daughter did something nice for someone at the supermarket, let her go ahead, this woman with a toddler, and the woman was like, I needed a sign for someone to change my mind about staying in this place. And it just resonated because sometimes, you know, we do get those signs of, you know, of kindness or something that, you know, something that is meant to shift in your life. And sometimes we don't want to pay attention to them. And I think that for me, I just left my full-time government job, very secure, well-paying government job, to pursue Dining Traveler full-time. And sometimes you need signs. And I felt that I had received, even after reading this a bazillion times, like, I started getting some signs earlier this year, and I just wouldn't pay attention to it. And it wasn't until I was in Puerto Rico, and I was toying with the idea, but it wasn't until I was in Puerto Rico last month that I had that moment that I was like, no, I'm meant to do this full time and see what happens.
Right. So the power of intention is, right, it's about this kind of conversation we have with life. It's about putting out, intending to have the life experiences that we want, that feel good to us, and then also being receptive to the signs and guidance that the universe gives us in turn.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, so for you, it sounds like, you know, it's very important. It's very important for you to hear this message, and then also for Wayne, as you said, gives very tangible exercises and things that you can do on a daily basis that show, you know, usually immediate, tangible results, even if it's just in the way you feel.
Yeah, and I think and one of the things that I love, and Luis mentions it, and also Wayne, is like, even the way you wake up. I mean, you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, this day is going to drag, or oh, I have such a long day. But if you say instead, I'm going to have an awesome day, even if you're not, you might have to go to court or whatever. But just like those simple words can just really shift the way you think and you see things.
Absolutely. Can you, okay, so let's talk about that moment. I know that you've been going back and forth with leaving, again, as you said, a very comfortable, good job, in the government, and, but feeling compelled to see if you can make Dining Traveler the thing that you do full time, because as you said, it just feels like what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
So that moment, so you're standing there in Puerto Rico, and this is after going back and forth on this for a long time, and something just came over you.
I did. I can tell you exactly when it happened. It was Monday, May 11th at, you know, 10 a.m. You know, my husband.
Yeah, you know the exact time, yes.
And my husband and I were, we went to Puerto Rico for a wedding, but I'm working actually on a book actually with you, Nina, The Dining Traveler Guide to Puerto Rico, that I'm very mm-hmm. excited about. And so we were at the hotel. We just had breakfast. And it was kind of an overcast day, and I had a sponsored post that was due, and I was doing some editing, and I was just sitting there by the pool writing, you know, technically working, because, you know, I was being paid to write this post. And I was telling my husband, I was like, this is the ideal situation for me. That doesn't mean being in a luxury hotel sitting by the pool, but it's having location independence. And that's my goal, is to be able to work on my, I mean, I don't mind working 10, 12 hours, 14 hours a day. And I think that a lot of people that are writers or are bloggers or are content creators know that people think, oh, you look cute and you Instagram a photo and you're going to get paid. And, you know, so, and I think that, and then at the same time, I had gotten an email from my boss back at home, just asked me something that, and it just like completely threw me off. I'm like, okay, I'm in my writing. And then, you know, I'm being brought to reality. And, for many of us who are writers, you know, you have this creative process and to have that creative process constantly interrupted, I was like, I turned to my husband and I was like, this is it. This is not sustainable anymore. I can't do this. I felt like I was living a double life. So the next day I went, talked to my boss and told them that I was leaving. And the most beautiful part of it was that my boss, instead of trying to convince me to stay, he's an older gentleman, also loves to write. He did corporate copywriting earlier in his career, and he was like, I'm completely jealous. I wish I could do what you're doing.
That's usually what people say. Absolutely. Instead of being mad, or what we always fear is that people are going to disapprove of our decision to do something off the beaten path, but they're 9 times out of 10, they're just happy for us or envious in a nice way.
Yeah.
So I love that you had a lit up moment. I know that like finding your path is many, many, many moments in which you feel you come alive, and then many lit up moments. But I love that you can even pinpoint that moment where you're like, this is it. I have to make this leap. You know, Monday, May 11th, 10 a.m. or 10:20 in the morning. Because that's what I've noticed in the last couple of interviews, that I can even get the person that I'm interviewing to pinpoint that moment when the sea change happened.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, for many other pivotal moments in my life, you know, that there is always that moment that really makes you think, okay, what am I doing? Even when I was living in Belgium and I had toyed with the idea of moving back to the U.S. and I came to D.C. and I also had that moment that I was like, okay, I'm ready to come back home. It's time. So I think that, and like I said, it's, you know, the universe doesn't believe in coincidence. You know, Wayne says it so much, and I think I repeat this to people all the time, is that I feel that the universe doesn't believe in coincidence, and even things that we do want, they come at the right time. And I think sometimes when we try to rush it or we try to make it artificial, it just doesn't end the way we want it to be. And I'm a big believer that everything comes at its time. And even if you do intend something or you are affirming for something and it doesn't happen, there is a reason for that. And to me, history proves, in the different experiences that I've had in my life, that I was just talking about this yesterday to a random guy at the mall that I went to get my computer. And he was telling me how he was in a relationship for 25 years, and his partner was an alcoholic, and he finally decided to leave. And he was like, in order for me to leave, I had to find another job in Austin. And he had been toying with the idea, and I was like, you know, maybe the person that you are intending, and he was like, I really want to meet someone. And I was like, maybe the person that you were intending to meet wasn't in Austin yet. Now that person maybe just moved to Austin. And, you know, I think, I don't know, like, that's just my mentality. And the same thing for me, when I, before I had made that pivotal moment that I, okay, this is it, I'm moving back to the U.S., I had toyed about it for about 7 months. And I had even applied for a job. It didn't go through. I was offered another job, and at that time I was doing some other things and some projects in my job that I couldn't leave. And it was funny because then I met my husband 5 weeks before leaving Belgium. So it was maybe the universe just wanted me to stick around a few more months for me to meet my husband. So I just think everything I look back to in my life that sucked or that didn't feel like the right time or I didn't get it at the right time has always turned around to become something greater than what I had initially intended.
Beautifully put, Jess. I think that's probably going to be a call out quote. Beautiful. And I want to talk to you and talk to our audience so that our audience can hear about all the things that are happening for you right now. And it seems like, and even before you made this decision, some of them were kind of blowing up. So for those of you who are listening and who don't really know so much about this process of becoming a professional blogger, I'm going to give a little bit of what I understand of what Jess is going through, and Jess is going to fill in all the rest. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Jess started writing, she writes content on a regular, consistent basis. And she, you know, of course, develops her social media ties, her network. She, you know, writes content for other people. Some write content for her. She's sent out many articles, and I hope that I can give this away, that, you know, didn't always get picked up. You know, mm-hmm. it's not, becoming a writer is not ever a simple process. You know, you have to send out a lot of stuff, and it doesn't know it. Like, I'm talking about not the blog articles, but, you know, for like a travel magazine or this or that. But Jessica kept trying, and she kept defining her voice and her content, and then she started getting picked up. And then most recently, you auditioned for the Travel Channel.
Yeah.
And you to be was what? Tell us about that. What they were auditioning you for.
So they had an open casting call for the Travel Channel Next Travel Channel star. So it was you know, the next host for a series of episodes on the show. So I went in November to New York City, and it was interesting because I just saw a tweet about it, and then I read it, and I said, okay, I'm driving to New York. So I drove on a Sunday. And, you know, audition on a Monday morning, and the audition went really well. And, you know, the producer even said, oh, I'm pretty impressed. And, they started following me on Twitter, and I really thought I had it in the bag. And, a few, you know, weeks ago, actually the same day I had the revelation that I was going to leave my blog full time, I saw that the list of the finalists, and I was not on the list. So, and for a minute, I felt very, I felt a little bit defeated. I really thought that this was going to happen. It was interesting because a few weeks later, I get an email from, one of the producers of the Travel Channel, and she's like, oh, we want you to be part of this expert panel on American vacations. And it wasn't, it's not a TV, it's just digital content, but you know, the fact that I was picked out of, you know, just five people in this like large world of travel media to be able to share my recommendations on where, you know, these millions of users that go onto their website can experience was, and at the end of the day, it did drive quite a bit of traffic to my blog. So that was definitely a big accomplishment. And I think that a lot of times, like we say, when one door closes, another one opens, and that was the situation with that.
Absolutely. And I don't know if this was related or just tangential, but around the same time you did get a position doing something for Telemundo on TV, right?
Well, with Univision. So I do a travel segment with Univision every other Tuesday here or Thursday here with the affiliate. So actually I just filmed yesterday, and I did we just did a small Q&A about traveling to Spain. And, this was my third show. I've done a combination of local and international travel. We want to keep it balanced, in terms of content. So it's really exciting to be on TV and being able to also reach a different audience, because as we know, there's a different audience between those who read, those who watch TV. So I try to do the best to reach out, to get the word out, even beyond the blogs.
Right, because your show is in Spanish.
Yes.
Am I correct? So you're now reaching, you know, a Spanish-speaking audience, an English-speaking audience, a print, an online audience, a TV audience, and that's incredible. I mean, especially as Spanish becomes more and more spoken, widely spoken in the United States.
And it's great too. I mean, and in the future, I have written some Spanish language content for Telemundo last year, and the great thing is that it's also the reach that it has to different countries. Not only here in the U.S., you have a big Spanish-speaking population, but then you get to expand to Latin America, which is where one of my focuses, you know, a lot of my content is very Europe heavy because we go to Europe quite often, with my husband, but, I would like to do a lot of, one of the neat great things about being back in what I like to call the New World is being able to discover different parts in Latin America. So I'm more excited to reach that market and to be able to tell those stories, from Latin America as well.
You're working on a book you mentioned before about Puerto Rico, which is where you're from, and it's where my father and ancestry is from on that side. And I'd love to have our audience hear a little bit about the process you're going through, because you're going to be writing the book and publishing it on your own, correct?
Yes.
So tell us about the book.
Well, it's a Dining Traveler Guide to Puerto Rico. At first, I was looking for all these, like, you know, titles for it, but I was like, no, this is A Dining Traveler Guide to Puerto Rico. And I grew up in Puerto Rico, and a lot of times my dad was much older when I was born, so when he retired, we moved. I was 5 years old, and we did a lot of road trips around the island, and it was for my father also a way to rediscover his roots and where he was from, because he had been living in the United States for, like, 30 years before he moved back to Puerto Rico. So, and that's what I want to take readers through, is a road trip around the island. And like I had said before, is like my main goal is not only to tell a story, but to educate and inspire. And that's what I want to do with the book, and in combination with beautiful imagery that will transport a person there. That's a lot of times when I see it with these travel guides, they're filled with text and not enough photos. And I have this awesome photographer. His name is Italo Morales, and he's an award-winning photojournalist that has agreed to embark on this project with me. And what we want to create is a word picture of Puerto Rico, and something that not only you can have as a book in your a beautiful hardcover book in your office, or you know, in your room, in your coffee table, or your hotel, but have also the ebook that you can take with you on vacation and use as a reference. I'm a big believer, especially for a person that moves all the time, I'm a big believer on things have to be practical and useful. And I want to make a beautiful book that's practical.
Beautifully put, Jess. Excellent. I think we have to wrap up. I think our half hour is almost over, but I really want to thank you for coming on. And I would also like to ask you for any parting words, some advice that you would give to an aspiring professional blogger, maybe something you'd want to have known for yourself maybe 5 years ago.
Is learning your objective. I know that in any career, whether you're a blogger or a dentist, whatever, it's always gonna vary. But I think that, and I've written actually about it on my blog, is when I lived in Europe, I had so many opportunities to really develop content, and that would have been more relevant, and I lost that opportunity, which is a pity, because I could have done so much more with it. And not only that, and also like the technical in and outs. And I think that a lot of times we're so engulfed in writing, especially if we love to write. Well, to be a blogger, you're gonna have to love to write, unless you have a photography blog. But if you love to write, you're so wrapped up in the words that you forget about the technical, whether it's the search engine optimization, the social media. And that's the thing about blogs. You write for people to find your audience. And, if you're not writing for a magazine or anything like that, you have to build your own audience. And I wish I would have done that sooner.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. So get to know as soon as you can the real reason why you're doing this.
Exactly.
Okay. Jess, is there anything else that you'd like to say to our listeners before we go?
And don't quit. I mean, people open a blog and they expect that they're going to get, 10,000 unique visitors a month. The first month is not like that. It's no. it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of being out there, and it's a lot of consistency. And I read somewhere that the lifespan of a blogger is 18 months, because people get burnt out. They can't handle it. So be consistent, and, there's going to be ups and downs, and there's going to be, don't stray from the theme of your blog.
If people want to get in touch with you, Jess, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can always, look at me on social media @Dining Traveler on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook / Dining Traveler. Also my blog, diningtraveler.com.
Perfect. All right. Thanks for coming on Lit Up, Jess. Have a great week.
Thanks, Nina. You too.